You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Tuesday, 14 July. We've got U.S. core inflation data due 2:30 our time. Expected, no change. 2.9%. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters, Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show this morning, Kia Nyanyana from Prime XPT. De Beers shutting the SA mine. TSMC, they've reported revenue. Results coming out in a couple of days, but revenue surging 32%. The short answer is the AI trade on the chip level seems to still be ongoing. Charles Savage from Purple Group, as they are buying Telescope AI for $10.75 million. And then we're chatting with a professor from the University of Pretoria on their customer experience index. For the first time, it is including investment firms. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Morning headline, MoneyWeb: retrenchments loom at Sun International, but group confirms this is limited to four of its smaller marginal casino properties. Business Day, Bank of America expects another Saab rate hike despite easing inflation outlook. Morning markets, US was red, S&P down 0.8%, NASDAQ off 1.8%, the 10-year 4.63%. The East is all red, Sydney down 0.4%, Tokyo off 0.8%, Hong Kong 0.75% down, 10 cent almost 2% lower. Commodities mostly green, exception is gold futures, which is weaker at 4,024. The rest is green, Brent 84.78, platinum 1,614, palladium 1,256. The rand is 16.46, Bitcoin 62,500. And top 40 opening call, red open expected, about 730 points or 0.7% lower.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Ken Yonah from Prime XBT. Care, De Beers, I'm not sure. I mean, the market, I don't think, particularly cares. De Beers, obviously still owned by Anglo American, but a very small part of Anglo American. But sort of for a history of our country and mining in the country, the fact that they are shutting their local SA mine is a story. And the bigger story, of course, is that diamonds are just not what they used to be. I mean, just 20 years ago, never mind 100 years ago.
Yeah, no, diamonds are no longer investors' best friends. and I think they've had this problem once before. As you said, De Beers is very tied to the South African history. Mm. I think just in 1960, they went through a similar issue where the Soviet Union at the time discovered a diamonds within their borders, and the price of diamonds went down. And what they did at that time was they just ramped up spending on marketing. So what I've been looking at is how much are they spending on marketing right now? And I've seen a line item that they've ramped up their marketing spend to about $100 million. But this is really not helping anyone, because the price of the stones are down 50% since 2022.
Yeah, and I'd forgotten, of course, not that I was around much in the 60s, but yeah, when Russia suddenly discovered diamonds and the whole world was like, huh, look at that. It's not just about Kimberley. Let's turn to TSMC. Full results out on Thursday, but they've given us an indication. Revenue expected to be a 36% year-on-year increase. Good for TSMC, but also a look-through to NVIDIA, to AMD, to Apple to a degree. I mean, the point is, if they're making a lot of chips, and they are, it means that those chips are going somewhere, and the whole sort of broader AI tech trade kind of continues, notwithstanding Mag 7 not having a brilliant year.
Yes, and I mean, if you just look at just last week alone, Meta Platforms was up about 15%.
Yeah.
But to look at TSMC, I mean, some of the exclusive clients are Apple, as well as you mentioned NVIDIA. Mm. And I mean, what I always look out for is that when there's demand bottlenecks like this, how much pricing power does the manufacturer actually have? And if we're just looking at the pricing power TSMC has, you just look at the bottom line. I mean, they said net profit is almost going to be up about 59%. Just sales alone in June are up 67.7% year on year. So, I mean, guidance is on the upper side of 30% year on year for the full year. And they're spending about 56 billion in capex alone this year. So it just tells you the insatiable appetite for the market for these AI processes.
Yeah, absolutely. A quick last one. We have Brent oil this morning, $84. It was $70 just about 10 days ago. The US 10-year at 4.63%. And it hit 4.5 last year in April after Liberation Tariff Day. Trump quickly tackled out. This just remains messy. And the last one is that he wants to charge a 20% surcharge for straight to Formos. He just can't end the war, which is what, frankly, he desperately wants to do. But we are all paying the price.
I think when you look at this deal, I mean, for me, it was the nuclear side issue that they couldn't deal with. Mm. Even though the Strait of Hormuz was open, I think it was really brinkmanship to its total extent. And right now, I think there's no exit door for both the parties in this. And you're just seeing it in the price of Brent crude. That geopolitical risk premium, which had unwind since the 17th of June, is back again. And as you said, the futures traded above $80 last week. And when you're seeing a trading on Monday, you're seeing it just push up and up. Mm. And I think right now, even with OPEC saying that they're going to be increasing the supply of oil, the Strait of Hormuz is too important to the energy distribution of the world. It's going to be felt in that price. And when you see the IMF's latest report, they said average, but Brent crude prices are going to be about $89. I think they're going to have to raise that guidance as well.
It's a horror story, but we'll leave it there. And of course, this is still within a world wash with oil, fortunately. Otherwise, who knows where prices would be. Kenyonyana, Prime XPT, always appreciate the early morning time. The Standard Flexible Income Fund delivers capital preservation and consistent top quartile inflation-beating returns. Let your money keep working with Stanlib Asset Management even after you retire.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting with Charles Savage, CEO of Purple Group. Disclaimer up front, I hold shares in Purple. They're, of course, easy equities. Charles, appreciate the time. Monday afternoon, the announcement coming through around an acquisition of Telescope AI, $10.75 million. We'll get to the T's and C's in a moment. First question, what is Telescope AI and why the acquisition?
Yeah, how's the time and thanks for taking the interest. Telescope AI essentially provides AI investment services to investors on a regulated and compliant way. We use one of their services, and in fact, we were their first client. And if you've used the platform, as I know you have, then you would have come across it in AI baskets, which is the ability to have a conversation with AI to construct a portfolio across the world, the globe. Mm. And that's just one of their products that they deliver. They've got a whole stack of products from research to portfolio insights to portfolio construction. They've been working on AI advisory compliance service and a whole host of other things. But, you know, fundamentally, if you like, they're using AI to make investing more insightful and rewarding and easier, educational for everyone. And we think that that's going to be an important part of the future landscape of all brokers and businesses like ours. And hence why we've taken the opportunity to acquire them, having worked alongside them for over 2 years now.
And part of this is, and in fact, I'm reading a tweet, you talk around AI at scale. I mean, this very much is, to a degree, it's AI at scale. It's investing at scale, which, you know, for Purple Group with, what, plus 1 million clients, scale is the name of the game.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, a lot of these AI services are operating outside the house, if you like. So they're building products and services from the boardrooms of their own businesses. What we want to do is build products and services from the insights and of our customer data and behavior, which is now over a decade old. We think that if you do that at scale, you'll create better products and services faster than if you do it outside the house, if you like. And, you know, our bet is that working with this extraordinary team, we'll be able to do three things. One, accelerate our product capabilities.
Yeah.
to introduce better products and services at all customer touch points by using AI. And three, come up with new products and services that are impossible for us to predict, but we think will emerge from a better understanding of AI and in the context of our customer data and behavior. And if just one of those things does well, then the opportunity, which looks, if you like, expensive on the surface, is really cheap in execution. You know, $1 million product line, and this is a very cheap acquisition. And I think we're going to produce multiples of $1 million product lines as a result of this transaction.
Yeah, and I take your point. Stuff we can't even dream of at this point in time will come through. Is the team going to stay on? Because I imagine something like this, it's the intellectual property within the individuals as much as what they have already created.
Yeah, I mean, it's a five-year term, so the balance of the transaction vests over a five-year period, and the team have signed five-year contracts keep them around for as long, for that period at a minimum.
Sure.
But I think, this is a team we've worked alongside. We understand the culture of the business as well, and I think this is a team that will work well together long beyond just a five-year period.
Telescope AI have worked with other customers as well, most notably IG. Will they continue with third parties, or will they now be sort of exclusive and bespoke to the broader Purple Group?
No, we've done the transaction in two levels. Purple Group buys 50% and Easy Equity is the other 50%. Mm-hmm. And that's to ensure there's proper segregation of function and duties. So the partnership business will be retained and kept. And we actually think that by building products for Easy Equities, they'll build better products for their customers. Mm-hmm. And then the business will also be integrated into Easy Equities ecosystem. So the two businesses will be kept apart. And as you know, we run really good partner businesses across competing business lines, if you like, Capitec, Discovery, et cetera. And so the intention is to do the same here, to make sure that the partnerships are maintained and that we build better products and then deliver them to their customers in time.
As I said up front, 10.75 million, this is US dollars. Some shares, almost 20 million shares. That's not giant in the world. You've got 1.4 billion, so that's not a significant number of shares. $5 million in cash, you've got the cash. Are there anything to be fulfilled, or is this now just sort of, getting the signatures and making it happen?
Signatures are all in place. We just need Saab approval, and then this transaction will go ahead. And I think there's no reason for it not to go ahead. It's just a formality.
We'll leave it there. Charles Savage, CEO, Purple Group. Appreciate the time. That's our poll today on LinkedIn. Your thoughts on the deal? Is this a good strategy for Purple? It's $10 million. I don't know. It's not insignificant. But if it works, this could become a big deal for them internally, but also external clients. Have your vote. Have your say. LinkedIn. Give your money the return it wants without taking a flight with the StanLib Global Select Fund, an offshore equity fund submanaged by JP Morgan Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
I'm chatting with Professor Azri Schroeder, Head of Industry Chair in Customer Experience at University of Pretoria. Professor, I appreciate the time. Your latest University of Pretoria Customer Experience Index is out. Talk me a bit through the index. We've chatted before, and my sense is this is less just about sort of just satisfaction or service quality. We're really trying to get the understanding of experience, of perceived value, perhaps more than anything else.
Yes, you're quite right. This is what we call a causal model. So there's causes and effects. And it includes the starting point of the index is the actual engagement with your client. We call it the value of the actual quality of the experience. Mm-hmm. That then relates to the value of the experience, not only premium or cost or bank cost or whatever the costing and monetary component is. It could even be just waiting time and saving time or wasting time and call center queues. That then relates to the customer experience index, which then gives an assessment of the, let's call it the cognitive as well as the emotional variables of experience.
Emotional, exactly what I was going to say there. I mean, this is the emotional response perhaps more than anything.
Yeah. Very often, these two industries are really something that is very close to individual clients' heart. The one is very much looking after your loved ones and having that certainty that they would be looked after once you know more. And on the investment side, even to the same degree, because you are saving for for a better day, for a retirement, or to actually really have a well-deserved retirement. And those two are very emotional. You know, it's not something that you buy a can of beans and you can just take it back.
Yeah, it's money. Man, money is emotional, absolutely. You mentioned investment. This was, as I understand, a new category. Allan Gray out tops. Discovery Invest, Old Mutual shared second place. Let's start with that first, I suppose. A new category, you've got some good numbers coming through. And as I said, Allan Gray coming out top of the pile.
Yeah, in the investment industry, one of the few industries that we've just seen up till now on all the benchmarks that we've done with a very clear leading winner. So the difference between first and second is so clear, we couldn't even blink an eye. It was clear, absolutely clear. And Allan Gray is definitely doing well. It corroborates with the brand equity. That's also really, really high. So I think it's the old notion that you need to have a good product as well as a good experience. The one cannot substitute for the other. On the life insurance, we have, you know, two traditional life insurance companies, the likes of Liberty and Old Mutual, that's giving each other a good run for money. And then the rest follows, but much closer sort of ratings in the index. So there's no clear winner, which tells me that there's still room for differentiation. The company that would step up and really put their hand up and say, I'm number one.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is, I mean, both of these are industries, particularly more the investment, but life insurance to a degree. The investment industry is very much, it's used to focusing on hard numbers, returns, fees, et cetera. Survey like this really must play to their strengths because it's, you know, we go back to emotional, we go back to data, something that they can really use.
You know, what is so astonishing is that we've seen with the American Customer Satisfaction Index and previous years and a previous company that I owned where we measured the South African Customer Satisfaction Index is that companies that outperform their peers are also doing financially much better. Now, the ACSI in America, the top winners there outperform the S&P 500 index sometimes by 20-fold, which means that satisfaction and experience is a major driver for people that says, I'm willing to stay, even if it's not necessarily the best rating, but this is a great company to work with. I trust them. They are safe. You know, all of those things play along to say, well, I would rather stay. And then most importantly, they go one step further. They are willing to recommend you. That is putting your name on the line and saying, you know, what they say about who needs friends if you recommend something bad to me. You know, it's literally that act of recommendation that becomes the ultimate form of salesmanship.
Yeah, and as you, in many cases, your best marketing avenue, which is that word of mouth. How do we stack up globally? Do we have a sense of how we compete against our global peers?
Definitely. The international norm is about 75 out of 100. We're doing very well in both the industries there. And the investment industry definitely then a little bit better. There is one area that we are, I think, lacking a little bit in international benchmarking is we are low on number of problems reported and experienced. We are very high on the percentage of customers that said their problems were resolved, you know, to their satisfaction. But when it comes to those customers that haven't had their problems resolved fully, and this is typically the things that potentially could land with an ombud, whatever, and you still see ombuds reports reporting, you know, umpteenths and hundreds and thousands of customers that actually complain. And that's the area which I think we haven't really solved to the degree that the international market and international best practice tells us we could.
Gotcha. We'll leave it there. This is Professor Andre Schroeder. He's a head of industry chain consumer experience. UP, appreciate the time. That's it for today. We were chatting with Sarah Nicholson yesterday. She from Just Money. We were talking around stock falls, how they work, benefits, also what to watch out for, red flags and different structures around them. We asked you if you belong to a stock fall. 2/3 said not for you. Rest split between yes, it's been great, and no, but I am keen. Have your vote. Have your say. LinkedIn. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning. The MoneyWeb website's in the app, 6:30 a.m. Podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie Nobokle, Nicole Sabu, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. If you're loving the show, please leave us a positive rating and an awesome review in your podcatcher of choice. And we'll chat again tomorrow. The cost of poor forex planning.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.